Well, it's my great privilege to introduce our guest speaker today. We have been blessed lately. This has been a really unbelievable season at Church on the North Coast. And you have heard Pastor Scott Beard before. He was here last year with us, and all of you enjoyed him very, very much. We share a grandbaby now with him and Kim, and she's so beautiful. Oh, my gosh. And I know, I'm going to be biased because she's my grandbaby, but she's so beautiful. But Pastor Scott and Kim have both pastored for 25 years in Abilene. And when I talk about them, you're going to start seeing some similarity because their legacy and the legacy of this house is very, very similar. But also, like, what they're doing currently is very similar. So it's really cool. That's why you're going to love him as soon as he hits the stage here. So his church is called Fountain Gate Fellowship, and it's in Abilene, Texas. The city of Abilene is very similar to the city of Lorain as well, very diverse, pretty close socioeconomic, I think, pretty close there. And it's just really cool to see that God's doing something in Texas, almost the same way he's doing in Lorain. But Pastor Scott ministers multi-generationally, multiculturally. He's started churches and campuses apostolically, and they have grown roots in their city, and Kim helps to lead that with her outreach ministries. And I'm just very grateful that they're part of our family now. It's like our families got married, which was really cool. But the character follows all of what I said about them. They just lead with love, and they have a passion for what God has called them to do. And they haven't left that for 25 years. They have a really great family, 5 kids, right? And Emily's one of them, and we all love Emily. It's easy to love. So we're really excited that we get to help them raise a beautiful grandbaby. And if you wouldn't mind, just help me and welcome Pastor Scott Beard to the stage.
Thank you. You're too sweet. Love you. Thank you all very much. Bless you. You can be seated. Amen. What a joy to be here with you guys again. I wasn't planning on this. Pastor Troy called me and three or four days ago and said, "Hey, you want to preach?" And I was like, "Yeah, I love this church. I'd love to preach." And so here I am. Thank you, Mary and Jim. Appreciate you guys. Pastor Lou, I love Pastor and Tina. Y'all just have a great team here. Amen. Would you agree with me? A wonderful team, Pastor Troy and Becca. What Mary said is really true. You really do marry, thank you, sir. You really do marry a family. And when we connected, listen, as far as I'm concerned, you guys are in Canada. I'm serious. I mean, all at 10 miles or so north, you're in Canada, basically. So people ask where my daughter is. Well, she's basically living in Canada now. She met some kid at Bible school, cotton-picking kid at Bible school, and here they move all the way to the north. And you know, Mary, we were with the baby last night, and Mary was being what I call a Riley hog. She was not sharing Riley. And, I made a move towards. She's like, "No, that's good. I got her." I'm like, "Yeah, that's fine, Mary. I'll be back in Texas while you have the grandbaby here all the time." Just kidding. So I had to give her a hard time about that. But listen, I've been working on this grandkid thing for a long time. This is amazing. We have 5 kids. I'm 58. Good grief. I mean, it's taken forever to get there. Finally, Emily and Dom had this precious baby. Got a ton of pictures. I'll tell you. Hang on here just a second. Let me see. I determined that I was going to be very annoying. Isn't she cute, y'all? Look at her. Is she just a doll? Oh, my gosh. Look. Would you look at that? You don't have, so used to you had the billfold that you'd pull out and all the, it would fall out and all the grand, but I have all these annoying friends who have grandbabies and they think it's funny to rub it in that I don't have a grandbaby. And now, man, I am going to be so annoying. I'm going to get on everybody's nerves. All they're going to hear about is Riley and see pictures. And so anyway, I've been working on it a long time. Listen, I've been working on my bench for her to sit on when I'm holding her. For a while. I mean, I've just been working on this for a long time. Amen? How many of you have grandbabies? I hear they're the best thing in the world. And I'm already discovering in the week and a half we've been with Riley, she is amazing. So I can't wait for you guys to get to meet her. She'll be running around here owning the place before you know it. She really will. So it's a joy to be here. Thank you all for having us. Very excited. I want you, if you would, stand with me and grab your Bibles. Let's stand in honor of God's Word. Amen. Just hold them up like a sword today. If it's your phone, that's great. Use your phone, your electronic Bible. Let's just make a declaration this morning as I pray over the Word. Father, thank you that your Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword that divides asunder between soul and spirit, that discerns the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Thank you, God, that this is more than a bestseller. It's alive. Jesus, you, according to John, are the Word made flesh today. Lord, I thank you that your Word will come alive in our hearts this morning as we dig into its truths. Open our eyes, open our spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, that we might see and hear all that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, you say amen? High five a Bible or an iPhone next to you. Come on. And then you may be seated. God bless you guys. It's my kind of church when they got a rag up here to wipe your sweat off when you get going. Amen? That's a good thing. Back in November, every year I go away and just spend time listening to the Lord for a prophetic word going into the new year that I share with our congregation. And this was my time to go in November. I was sharing with the guys back in the green room a while ago just how sovereign this time seemed to be for me. Typically, when I get away, I'm a people person. I like to be around a lot of people. For me to get away and be by myself, kind of secluded, and just set my iPhone aside and just be still, listen, that's like pulling teeth for me. But I know it's the Lord disciplining me to make sure that I get away and I'm listening and I just have that time. So typically it takes about anywhere from, good grief, 4, 5, 6 hours for me just to detox, to be able to sit down at my computer or whatever and to begin to work on what I think God might be speaking to me. I walk into the place where I was going, and in 10 minutes, the Lord began to download a word into my spirit for 2017. What Mary said a while ago is very true. We share a very similar DNA. First time I preached here, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like home. It really is. I just feel that from you guys. And I felt like, I told Mary and I just shared with these guys, I felt like that I was to share this word with you guys because I shared it with my congregation, but I believe it fits this congregation. I've never been as excited about a prophetic word that the Lord's given me as I am this word. Let me set it up. 2016 for Kim and I and for really even our church was kind of a year of kind of dying, if you will. It started out an hour before the new year, 2015. My mom died just before the new year hit. And then we had a number of very high-profile deaths of leaders in our church that I performed their funerals and just on and on, a lot of different things. My daughter went through a very difficult divorce. There was a death. I'm just being transparent. Come on. There was a death I felt in that because we love this young man and felt like there was something there that died in us. And just on and on and on. So when I talk about dying, I'm saying it in the best sense of the term. Y'all know what I'm saying? There are things in me, there are things in us, how many of you know, that need to die. And so there are those seasons that the Lord allows us to go through those things. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We all have a cross, amen, that we're to bear. What's that cross for? It's a cross that we die on. But when we die, how many of you know, the Lord gives us so much back in return. And so while we went through all these things in 2016, I just felt like, God, what is it that you're doing and preparing me for? He took me to another verse. This is a very important verse. Let me give it to you. It's John 12:24. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it lives alone. But if it dies, watch this, it will bear much fruit. That's when I began to hear the Lord say two things to me about 2017. He told me very clearly that 2017 is going to be a year of resurrection. That 2017 is going to be a year of, watch this, much fruit. Say much fruit. How many of you take much fruit right now? Amen? The year of resurrection, a year of new life. Here we are in Cleveland, in Lorraine, in Avon Lake specifically, with our grandbaby. We began to see clearly, even in the natural, that the Lord was beginning to bring new life to Kim and I personally, and to our family, in the form of Riley. She's, to me, a picture of this prophetic word coming to pass. another grandbaby. My son's married, will be married, and they are to give birth to a child in June, my second grandbaby. I've waited all these, and I've had two grandbabies come. I'm about to lose control here. This is crazy. And I think, again, it's a picture of prophetically what the Lord is doing in us. There is new life. There is resurrection. Then I started thinking about 2017, the number 17. How many of you know numbers are significant in the Word of God? Listen to this. Just a few things I picked up. In the Bible, the number 17, watch this, symbolizes overcoming the enemy. Amen. How many of you know the devil's a liar? Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. That no weapon formed against us can prosper. Romans 8 says we are overwhelming conquerors in Christ. Come on, this is a year of overcoming victory, overcoming the enemy. Another word, a year of complete victory. Come on, not partial victory. How many of you take complete victory today? God overcame the sins of rebellious humans when he began to flood the earth through rain on the 17th. Of the second Hebrew month, Noah's Ark and its eight passengers rested on the mountains of Ararat on the 17th of the seventh month, right in the middle of God's annual holy period known as the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus Christ gained a complete victory, how many of you know, over death and the grave when God resurrected him near sunset of Nisan 17. So 17 is a powerful number. All of that is the setup, I believe, the word that the Lord's given me. Now, I want to encourage you with this, that we're beginning to see confirmations of this. I came across, I'm going to just read this, if you'll bear with me for a moment, a word by Cindy Jacobs. Some of you are familiar with Cindy Jacobs. It's an intercessor, national intercessor, and God uses her powerfully. They were at a conference, a group of national prophetic voices concerning the year, praying about 2017. Let me read this to you, that she recorded this. 2017, she called it the breakthrough year. Isn't that good? She quotes Micah 2:13, the one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. She says then there will be significant increase in miracles and signs and wonders. And that's significant because of the word I'm about to share with you. Just confirmed what the Lord's shown me. The anointing will be so strong, she says, that it will break significant and long-standing strongholds that have plagued people's lives. Then she quotes Isaiah 10:27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. For the Lord says, she says this, my people, the Lord prophetically through her, my people are entering into an overcoming season that will produce great breakthroughs, for the enemy has come in like a flood, but I, the Lord, am releasing great victories. I will stem the tide of violence. I will bring peace to the land. I will bring an awakening. I will release revival. How many of you received that? Come on. I claim that for CNC. I claim that for Lorraine and this entire area, that revival is coming, that the beginning of revival is happening, that there is a tsunami wave of God's Spirit that's beginning to build up, and it's coming. There has to be that sense of expectation in us. The greatest harvest, she says, of souls the earth has known is upon us. Hundreds of thousands will be saved. The Middle East will experience a revival, and this will extend into the evangelization of both the Arab and non-Arab speaking Muslims. I'm telling you, God is breaking out amongst the Muslim people. We recently had a guy, we have an Air Force base in Abilene, and he was an Air Force pilot there. He married a girl from Turkey. She was Muslim. They found our church. She came to our church as a practicing Muslim who was still reading the Quran. And something happened as she began to come. She said as she would read the Quran, this is her testimony, she'd see the face of Jesus in the Quran every time she'd read it. And then we would have baptisms, and every time we would baptize people, she said, I can't explain it, but I began to feel burning down through my heart and through my soul. And she gave her heart to Christ in our church. I'll tell you, there's a revival. Come on, amen. There's a revival happening among the Muslim people. There really is. She said, look to Egypt to be a leader in this revival and awakening. It says this, the inner cities of America and the areas in which Satan has built its greatest strongholds will begin to rebuild. And the revivals in such cities as Detroit and Chicago will astound the news. God says, I will not forget the inner cities. How many of you know there's one in Cleveland, man? God will not forget the inner cities. This harvest time will result in the salvation of high-profile leaders, both in the media and government and education spheres of society. They will be vocal and unashamed. Their bold presence on social media will cause a huge stir in the news services. That's already kind of started to happen a little bit. Now, all that to set up where I want to go with you. Take your Bibles. This is the text. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. With this thing in mind of the year of overcoming victory, a year of resurrection, a year of much fruit, I want to read this story. I was thinking about this, and the Lord took me to this passage when I went away to be with Him in November. Look at verse 8. Here's a great story. You're probably familiar with this, but I'm going to kind of break this down in bits and pieces, and I'm going to give several different words as I read through this. Here's verse 8. Now, there came a day when Elisha passed over Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. She said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please let us make a little walled up upper chamber and let us set a bed for him there and a table and chair and a lampstand, and it will be, shall be, when he comes to us that he can turn in there." Here's the first word. If you're taking notes, they should be on the PowerPoint here. The first word I got for 2017, prophetic word. First one's this: 2017 will be a year of clear prophetic direction. A year of clear prophetic direction. Okay? Now, it's clear from this passage that the woman honored the prophetic gift in Elisha. Would you agree? She made a room for her in her house, a room for him in her house. Church, I saw this so clearly. And when I read this, I just heard in my heart, "Son, you have to make room for the prophetic in your house." Come on. I know there are prophetic giftings, and I know there are gifts that are released through the prophetic. Some of you operate in a prophetic gift, but as believers, how many of you know we all are to operate prophetically? We are a prophetic people who see into the future, because the Word of God so clearly outlines for us what's coming. He's saying to us, those certainly that operate in the prophetic gift, and then He's also saying to us, those as believers that have the prophetic gift within us, that we're to stir that gift up in 2017 and watch what God does through it. There will be clear prophetic direction. We've learned when our children were small, we would prophesy over our children. We'd sit down together at a dinner table. We'd just take time. We'd start prophesying over them. Boy, you talk about a release. You talk about a breakthrough. Learn to prophesy over your husband. Learn to prophesy over your wife, over your children, speaking life over them. Operate in that prophetic gift. God will give clear prophetic direction. How many of you receive that today? I believe that I saw this. The Lord showed me that if we would honor the prophetic gift, that He would be faithful to provide prophetic guidance necessary, come on, for the church to fulfill its destiny. You guys have a destiny at CNC. You have a purpose. But I believe the prophetic gift is key to that. Here's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For one, no one understands, but his spirit speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speak to men for edification. Here's what the new covenant prophetic gift looks like. What do we do with that gift? It's to edify, speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. By the way, this is not a case against tongues. Just want to say that. There have been those that use this passage to make a case against tongues. Can I tell you, I speak in tongues more than y'all. I believe Paul was from Texas when he said that. Now, I wish that you all, he says here, speaks in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy, and greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may receive edifying. Another scripture that the Lord brought us to for 2017 was Ephesians 3:20. As it turns out, this is kind of a life verse for me. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think, according to the what? Power that works within them. There is that thing in us that has to embrace this truth. There is a truth in that passage. I'm going to get into it a little deeper in a moment. But we know that also from Ephesians 2:10, it says that the church, the foundation of the church, is built upon what? The apostles and the prophets. That's the foundation of the church. And so here's one other verse. Quickly write this down. First Thessalonians 5:20 says that we're not to despise prophecy. In fact, verse 19 says to be careful not to quench the Holy Spirit. Can I say this? If we despise prophecy, in effect, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. We can't do that. It's the church. Amen. Why has there been so much confusion over prophecy? Because the enemies fought really hard to keep the prophetic voice down. All right, let me move forward. Look quickly to verse 11 now, where I left off. One day, he came there and turned into the upper chamber and rested. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, say now to her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. Very thankful for how that she took care of him. What can I do for you? Now, I love that phrase right there. What, I want you to note that. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army? And she answered, I live among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi, Elisha's servant, answered, said, truly she has no son, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, watch this, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, at this season next year, you will embrace a son. Do y'all see that? And she said, no, my Lord, O man of God. Do not lie to your maidservant. He's like, don't lie to me, boy. Don't get my hopes up. Don't you lie to me. And she said, no, my Lord, oh my God, don't lie to your servant. The woman conceived then and bore a son at that season the next year, as Elisha had said to her. Here's the second point for 2017. Number two, 2017 will be a year of renewed vision and calling. A year of renewed vision and calling. I believe it'll be a year again where God is saying, it's time for you to dream again. I think there are a lot of you here that have had dreams and that it had that sense of calling on your life. But because of life, how many know life happens? Because of life, that thing's been kind of buried. And you've kind of just begun to give up on your dream. I tell you, this is the year that the Lord's saying, believe again in that dream I've given you. Believe again in that vision and calling that I've given you. Begin to unlayer, dig out, take off the overburden that's been on that dream. Begin to remove that and get back to the things that I've called you to. I believe this is that year for you and I. I believe the Lord will birth within us that renewed sense, if you will. I love the phrase, I told you to underline it, in the passage that says, what can I do for you? Boy, I just got that. That went all over. I got chills when I read that. I just heard the Lord in my spirit saying, son, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? And I almost felt like that this is the prophetic mandate for us today. The Lord standing before us, saying that to us. Going back to Ephesians 3:20, we had a Wednesday night series where we just broke this verse down, just really broke it down. And took about 5 weeks to study this verse. And when I heard this thing in my spirit about the Lord saying, what can I do for you, son? I started thinking about, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that I could even ask or think. Come on, think about that. Think about your wildest dream, your wildest imagination in God. And yet the Lord's saying, hey, I'm going to do much more than even that. That's our God. That's our papa. That's our daddy. He loves us. He wants to just lavish his grace upon us. There's one verse in the Bible that talks about the prophetic voice says to I believe it was Hosea, if I were to tell you what I'm about to do for you, you wouldn't even believe it. That just tickles me. Hey, son, if I were to tell you what I'm about to do, you wouldn't even believe it. Because it's so far beyond, exceedingly abundantly beyond anything you could think. We got to start thinking this way again, y'all. Can you say amen to that, y'all? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? I had our church, and now, in fact, my phone is set at 3:20 every day. The alarm goes off, and the Lord just begins to, every day that goes off, I begin to speak and declare prophetic things that God's spoken over me, things that God's promised me, declarations about our finances, about our church, about the harvest that God's promised us in Abilene, in the big country. And I just start making those declarations every day at 3:20. I think y'all need to set your phones for 3:20. Start making those declarations for your family and your marriages and your children. Speaking over, start making those declarations over this great work, this great kingdom work in Ohio that is doing a wonderful thing. Start making those declarations every day at 3:20. Amen. I think y'all need to. I really think y'all need to do that. Now, here's the caveat. The caveat is there's a maturity. We're not just spoiled children that want things that we really don't need. No, there's a thing in us, there's a maturity in us that knows exactly what it is that we're to ask for, to believe for, to build His kingdom, and to do His work and bidding in the earth. So that certainly is the caveat. But I believe it's the Father's desire to bless His children with all that they need. Come on, to fulfill that vision, to fulfill that dream He's put in you. How many of you are ready to dream again? Come on, man. A great man of God, Jack Taylor, that I love dearly. Jack says, if you can accomplish your dream within your lifetime, then you're not dreaming big enough. Isn't that good? How big is your dream? Come on, church. Let's go back to the Word, back to this passage again. Look at verse 18. Now, when the child was grown, the day came that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until noon and then died. He must have had a brain aneurysm or something, but he died in his mother's lap. Here's what the Lord showed me. 2017 will be a year of challenges and tests. Everything was good right up till we got to this point. There will be challenges and there will be tests. I believe the Lord showed me so clearly that He'll allow certain tests this year that will challenge kind of our resolve to hold fast to His promises. How serious are we? Think about the miracle that this boy was to his parents. And here suddenly he's laying dead in his mother's arms. How many of you know this was a test? Literally, the promise of God to his mother, the man of God declaring prophetically that she would have this child. Then suddenly there he is dead. Man, I want you to catch this, what I'm about to say. How many of you know that when you're walking in the promises of God, that doesn't promise the absence of struggles? Listen, we're happy, clappy churches. We're charismatic, everything's good, nothing's ever wrong. You know what I'm saying? I'm kidding, I'm facetious. But we like things that are happy, clappy. And it's hard for us when we start talking about things like this. But have you know it's a fact? In the world, you will have tribulation. Hey, but cheer up. Be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Walking in the promises of God doesn't promise the absence of struggles, but that in fact the struggle becomes the key to the promise being fulfilled. Oh, that'll preach now. I'm going to do a little Pentecostal wipe on that one. If this was wide, just wave the hanky. Come on, y'all out there. You guys awake? Y'all get enough coffee this morning? It's good. See, the enemy would want you to throw your hands up in despair when the test comes. But the Father wants you to throw your hands up in praise when the test comes. Oh, come on now. Tweet that. James, watch this. 1:2, chapter 1, verse 2 says, consider it. This verse always cracks me up. Consider it all joy. My brother, when you encounter various trials. Oh, hallelujah. Another trial. I'm so joyful. Come on. Doesn't say be happy when you face another trial, but it does say to be joyful. There's a little bit of a difference. Consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Because there's something in the trial that is going to grow you and mature you and, in fact, bring you into your promise. Then James 1:12 says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. It's interesting that the Greek word for trial here literally means to try to learn the nature or character of someone or something by submitting such to thorough and extensive testing. Here's the truth. To find out what's in something, yeah, all you have to do is squeeze it. You don't know there's toothpaste in that tube until you squeeze that tube. How many of you know that sometimes the struggle or the squeeze is on in your life personally, and what comes out of you, this is profound what I'm about to say, what comes out of you is what's in you. What's going to come out of you when the squeeze comes? That's a good question. I'd rather not have to answer that sometimes. Don't even look at my wife or talk to her. She's not allowed to talk to anybody in this room right now. See, trials and tests has a way of squeezing out of us what is really in us. All right, I want to go to the next word. Look at verse 21. We're reading now through this passage. So here she is with a dead baby, that dead boy in her arms. I love this. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. And she shut the door behind him and went out. And then she called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and return." And he said, "Why will you go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, watch this, underline this, "It will be well." Speaking those things that are not as though they were. She saddled a donkey, said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you." So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. The man of God saw her at a distance. He said to Gehazi's servant, "Behold, there is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" And she answered again, "It is well." Here's the word that the Lord showed me about that. 2017 will be a year of power released through our confession. What's your confession today? Listen to me. She had every reason to give a negative confession. That boy was bona fide dead. But instead, even in the midst of that horrible circumstance, she determined that her confession would be a confession of life. Been a lot said about name it, claim it, theology and all that. I believe it started out wonderfully well, that got perverted in some weird ways. But at the end of the day, there's truth in the power of our tongue. There's truth in the power of our confessing. What are you confessing? What are you confessing over your marriage? What are you confessing over your children? What are you confessing over your city, over this church? What are you confessing? You need to listen. I believe the Lord's answer to test and the trials of faith that we'll face will completely rest in our confession. Knowing who we are in Christ, knowing that Christ is our answer. I mean, oh, Jesus is the answer. But what's your confession? Your confession says sometimes just the opposite. I love the faith and confession of this Shunammite woman. When questioned by her husband where she was going, her confession was very simple. It's well. Then Gehazi came and said, "What's going on?" She said, "It is well." Man, I was moved by this. I started thinking about my response and sometimes my confession during times of trial. There have been times that I've given a confession of faith, and then there are times when I didn't. How many of you can relate to that? I believe our confession will be extremely strategic as we move into this new year. Man, I want this to challenge your socks off today. And for some of you don't have socks, but your shoes off. Some of you aren't wearing shoes. Your skin off. I don't know. I hope this will really challenge you today. It needs to. This needs to be something that is deep down in you. See, if there's a negative confession, then it will be used strategically in the hand of the enemy against you. If it's a positive confession, then it will be used strategically in the hand of God to promote you. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." We know this scripture, Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." 1 Peter 3:10, "For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceit." So 2017, a year of power released through our confession. Let's move on. Look at verse 27. "When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her.'" He picked up prophetically what was going on inside of her. "The Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, Did I ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, don't you deceive me? She's getting up in his face right here, y'all. Come on, how many mamas out there? Y'all know what? She's like, boy, I told you, don't you deceive me. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go your way. If you meet any man, do not salute him. If anyone salutes you, do not answer him and lay my staff on the lad's face. And the mother of the lad said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you, man of God. Here's the word. 2017, I believe, will be a year of deeper levels of intimacy with the Father. Deeper levels of intimacy with the Father. I believe the Lord's calling us this year into a greater place of intimacy. I think the last time I was here, I talked about the Father heart of God and my revelation of the Father heart of God. It's still just embryonic compared to what I believe the revelation of that is meant to be for us. But it's huge in my heart. He's our Father. He desires that we be intimate with Him. He desires that we move into that intimate relationship with Him. He loves us more than we could ever even imagine. He loves us. He loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to sacrifice His life on a cross for us, that we might in turn have life. He is crazy about you. Did you know God's greatest desire is you? You are His greatest desire. He tells His servant, go lay that rod on that boy, and we're going to believe for a miracle. And I tell you what, this woman's like, I'll have none of that. I'm not moving, prophet, until you move. I'm going to stay right next to you because you're the man of God. You're the one that prophesied that boy would have life. And you're going to prophesy again. It's going to happen again. I'm not leaving your side. Gehazi, you knock yourself out. Good luck on your journey, but I'm not impressed with a staff laid on that boy's body because that ain't going to do the trick. There needs to be an intimate encounter with His Heavenly Father. She knew there needed to be a great miracle. So you just knock yourself out. See, I believe that this is the place of intimacy that we come into. I love how honest she was. Can I just say this to you? It's okay to be honest with God. It's okay to ask questions of God. But it's not okay to question God. I love that in this place of intimacy, the woman was very honest. The woman got in His face, if you will. But she stood by the faith that she had. In her heart, I believe, she knew that that little boy is going to be raised from the dead. But it's okay to ask questions of God. It's okay to wonder why. I've asked questions why certain things have happened in my life or in my church's life or those that I pastor, and I see tragic things happen, and I ask God questions. Why would a good God allow this to happen? Y'all ever had those questions? But in the place of intimacy, you see, if we don't understand the Father heart of God, we'll misunderstand His purposes. We got to have a revelation because there are things that we will go through. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are much greater than our thoughts. He understands things that we don't and can't understand. God understands. He knows where we're at. And so here she is in that place asking those questions. Let's go to the next part. Verse 31. It says, he arose and followed her. Then Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the lad's face. But there was no sound or response. So he returned to meet him and told him, the lad is not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, behold, the lad was dead and laid on his bed. The staff didn't work. The rod didn't work, just like the woman suspected. So he entered and shut the door behind them both and prayed to the Lord as he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. He stretched himself on him and the flesh of the child became warm. Come on now, something's happening. Then he returned and walked into the house once back and forth. He wasn't alive yet. He was just warm. And it says he went up again and stretched himself on him, and the lad sneezed 7 times. Ha-choo, 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 ha-choo. I'm sure that's exactly the way it happened. The lad sneezed 7 times, and he opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. When she came into him, he said, take up your son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. Here's the last promise the Lord gave me, and it fits right into the word I shared with you earlier from Cindy Jacobs. I believe 2017 will be a year of signs and wonders and miracles. I just do. And can I say this to you? Now, I know for me personally and for our church, what that meant for me was that I really heard the Lord say, son, you need to make a little more room for me when you gather corporately. We're in two services, and, you know, you got to get time constraints, and I get all that, man. We got time constraints. It just happens. It's just part of the deal. How many of you know God can work within structure? He really can. But he just made very clear to me that we were to make room, and we've already scheduled two conferences this year. We made some changes on Sunday morning to give room for time to pray for the sick and to believe for signs and wonders and miracles to break forth in our church this year at a new level. I'm just declaring that over you guys. I believe for CNC, this is going to be a year of greater signs and wonders and miracles than maybe you've ever seen. Come to faith with that. When your alarm clock goes off at 3:20, start declaring. When your watch goes off at 3, start declaring, God, there's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles, all for your glory, all for your kingdom, all for the purpose of pointing people to your heart and to you. That's why this is coming. God, I declare it's going to happen. I declare it's going to happen in my life. It's going to happen in my family, my children. It's going to happen over our church, over our pastors, over our staff. God, signs and wonders and miracles, and we're going to see the harvest come because they're going to see there's going to be signs that will point them to Jesus. I got to share this story with you. We had a 9-week revival in Abilene back 1999 into 2000. It was supposed to be a 4-day meeting, and it turned out it turned out into a 9-week meeting. I don't think I shared this with you last time I was here. And it just the Spirit of God broke out in this meeting. And one of the things that happened in this meeting was that people began to manifest gold teeth. Yeah. The ushers are like, we may need to go get him and get him removed pretty quick. This is weird. But the evangelist, a guy from South Africa, said, man, I want you to bring flashlights to church every night and start looking. We'd take a time every service and begin to look in each other's mouths. And I thought, I already have a bad reputation in our city. This is going to seal the deal, man. We start looking at each other's mouth, and sure enough, we start seeing gold teeth. Had a friend in Lubbock who was suffering from just a real depression. My best friend grew up with him. We were at school together, grade school together. I was counseling him over the phone, kind of working with him and loving him. And he called me one day just depressed, and this revival was going on. I said, Kevin, I don't know what it is, but I said, you need to come. You need to come to Abilene. We're in some meetings, and incredible things are happening. He said, I'll come. So he came. He came that night. Came time to look in each other's mouths, and I took my flashlight out, and he thought I was crazy, but I said, just open your mouth and shut your mouth. Open your mouth and shut your mouth at the same time. Open your mouth. I got to look in your mouth. Looked in his mouth, and I saw something shimmering back in one of his molars. I said, okay, I see something here. Go to the bathroom, take my flashlight. You look and see what you see. Tell me what you see. He came back, and he was just astonished. He said, that gold tooth wasn't there. He went back to his dentist in Lubbock, had his dentist check. The dentist, they dentally confirmed that was an amalgam filling that was perfect, pure gold. Here's the point. Do we stop at that point and worship the gold, worship the sign? No. The point is, my friend called me a week later. That water bottle and I are fixing to have a wrestling match. My friend called me a week later. He said, dude, I've shared Jesus with more people this week than I have my entire life. That's the point. Signs and wonders and miracles, thank you, point us, come on, to Jesus. They lead us to Jesus. What's a sign and wonder? Well, sign is a sign that points. What's a wonder? A wonder is this. I wonder what that is. I mean, I remember going back to my house after the first night, and I was by myself in my living room. I was like, God, this is not good. I'm going to get a reputation. The Lord's like, that's fine. I'll just take it down the street if you don't want it. So I'm good. I'm good. We'll do this. For 9 weeks, we saw this happen. Gold manifest. We saw hands with oil drip. We had an associate pastor's wife. I have a picture of it. Just oil dripping out of her hands. And boy, the Lord started stirring that in me again. Son, you need to get back to believing me and believing for signs and wonders and miracles. People were healed during that crusade. We had 250 people baptized during that 9 weeks. I mean, the Spirit of God fell on us. I want that again. I'm not into playing church. I got a feeling you guys aren't either. This is that year. I believe it. Will you agree with me? This is that year. This is that. Come on, church. There can be no, amen. Thank you, Father. There can be no substitute for His resurrection power. And I believe we're going to see a greater release of this power in 2017. Elisha, out of his obedience, laid on that child. Look what it says, mouth to mouth. I believe that's a picture of God's desire to breathe His life into us. The life of His Spirit into us, eye to eye. I believe that's God's desire for us to see what He sees, hands to hands. I believe that's God's desire for us to be His hands, if you will, extended. And I love the perseverance in Elisha that wouldn't give up. Just because he was warm, he wouldn't give up. It wasn't good enough. Warm isn't good. Can I say warm isn't good enough? The Bible says in Revelation that He'll spit out those that are lukewarm. Come on. He'd rather you be hot or cold. Warm ain't good enough. Warm don't cut it. He wants us to be white hot in our love for Him. I believe that child sneezing seven times was significant too. Seven is the number of God, number of completion. I mean, you know, when God moves, He doesn't move partially. He doesn't, come on, He doesn't do things halfway. He's all in. Amen. Do you receive this word today? You would just bow your heads with me. I want to just pray over you this morning. Just declare a blessing over you guys. Again, y'all just feel like family here. And I believe this word is for us today with all my heart. Father, right now, I want to thank you for this precious church. God, I want to thank you for the many years of faithfulness for Pastor Lou and all the years of faithfulness that he's served here. All the miracles that you've done at CNC. But Lord, this, I declare, is a new day for CNC. That, Father, there are things coming in this year that will absolutely blow our minds. There are things coming in these church plants. There are things coming in this great mother church. There are things that we're going to see from salvations to miracles to signs and wonders, Lord, that we would have never even dreamed of, except that, Lord, you are desiring to move in a new way in our midst. So I declare these things that, God, you're going to give clear prophetic direction to this house. I praise you, God, for raising up the prophetic voice in this house. God, that there will be a renewed vision and calling. There will be that sense of understanding our promise and that we're coming into our promise. Will you receive that today? God, I declare that over your church today. Lord, even though this may be a year of challenge and test, God, we want to count it all joy when these things come. Because, Lord, we know that what they're doing in us is creating a strength and a maturity in us to persevere into our promise. Father, I declare over these that this will be a year of power released through our confession. Lord, would you absolutely be a guard over our lips? Would you be a guard over our words, Father? Would you put the Holy Spirit at the portal of our mouth? And Lord, if we go to say something negative, that you'll catch us, that you'll quicken us, that you'll stop us, God, because we know there's power in that confession. I declare that today in Jesus' name. I declare, Father, that this will be a year of new levels and deeper levels of intimacy with the Father. God, I thank you that you're going to reveal yourself in new ways to us this year. You're going to show us, Lord, aspects to your heart, Lord, to your love for us, to your grace, in ways like we've never seen before. God, we receive this today in the name of Jesus. And finally, God, I declare over this great congregation and this wonderful people, 2017 will be a year of signs and wonders and miracles. I'm not going to have you come forward, but I'm going to ask you to do this. If you're needing, maybe it may be a miracle in your physical body. It may be you need a miracle in your marriage. You need a miracle in your family. You need a miracle in your finances. I'm not sure what it is. I just feel like that we're to respond to this. If you just say, that's me, stand to your feet. Come on with me this morning. Need a miracle. God, you're the God of breakthrough. We're standing today. Now, I'm telling you, some of you are coming to faith right now. Now, the Spirit of God is all over this. He's all over you. I just sense the Holy Spirit just moving through this room right now. God, over everyone standing in this room, God, we are claiming and declaring there are miracles, signs and wonders that are coming on our behalf. Because, Lord, we're standing, I'm standing because I need a miracle. We're declaring that because we're standing, God, we are children that love you, that are crazy about you. Even those that aren't standing, there'll be another time when they'll stand because we all go through these times. God, I just declare over everyone here today that in the name of Jesus, this year, come on, say this year, we're going to see breakthroughs. This year, we're going to get the breakthroughs that you've said. This year, not 2018, 2017. And I declare that for many, even this week, we're going to see things happen. In the name of Jesus, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, relationships, God, whatever it is, we trust you. You're our Papa, you're Abba, you're Daddy God, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, just with heads bowed, one last question as we close this morning. Is there anyone at all in this house, in this room, that would say, you know, I'm not in touch with the heart of God, the Father, because I've never really given my heart to Jesus. I've never really asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And maybe you're here today and just say, you know, I've always kind of assumed that I was a believer. There's something in me today, that says that I need to respond to this. I have doubt, and I'm wondering if there is something here that I need to respond to, and there's just a little bit of doubt. You need to get the doubt out today. If that's anybody at all, I'm not going to prolong this. We're out of time. But if anybody at all, just say, Pastor, I want to give my heart to Christ today. And I mean it. If that's you, raise your hand very boldly. Just say, that's me, Pastor. I want to give my heart to Christ today. Thank you, sir. Very serious. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Back in the back. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, sweetheart. I don't know if this is what you guys do. Mary gave me a lot of freedom. That's dangerous. But I just think there's something powerful to this, and I can't make you do this. But if you raised your hand, I'd like to look you in your eye and pray a prayer with you. And I'm going to challenge you to come and just stand with me. I will not embarrass you, but if you raise your hand, would you come and just stand with me? Let me pray with you and just affirm this in you. Thank you, sir. Come on, give this guy a hand. Bless you. Anyone else? Bless you. Anybody at all? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tell me your name, sir. David. This is David. You know what? It takes guts. He did not come to church this morning thinking he was going to walk up in front of this congregation. But how many of you know David means it today? There's something sincere in David's heart today. And I want you all, if you will, sir, just agree with me. Let's lay hands on David. Agree over David today. Would you agree with me as we pray? And then I want us all to pray this prayer out loud. If you raise your hand, even come forward, that's fine too. Pray this prayer. Come to faith that God's going to hear your prayer today. Would you all, David included, you, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you today to forgive me of my sins, to wash me, to cleanse me, make me whole again. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you're alive. And so today I ask you to come into my heart, to take control of my life, to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'm born again, and I give you all the praise. In your name I pray. Amen. Come on, man. What does that feel like? I don't know if there, you guys may have some material or whatever. Yeah, Pastor, if you'd go and just bless this guy. There's some information that I know that CNC probably wants to get to. Come on, let's give the Lord another hand. Hallelujah. The Bible says when one is saved, that all of heaven rejoices. There's a party in heaven going on right now, y'all. God bless you guys. Pastor, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Let's show our appreciation now. Give him a round of applause and just bless him. Amen. It's powerful, isn't it? If you've prayed that prayer, we would like to talk to you. The altar ministers, please come forward who are up front here before we leave. Before you go that way, come this way. I'd like to get to pray with you, talk to you, and so with these up here. And just share the love of Christ with you. If there's anything else you would like to pray for, you know, he said a word in there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me that to receive that word this year, we need to remove the overburden. Maybe there's overburden. You've allowed the world to cover up those things that he was talking about, those miracles, signs, and wonders. Yes, we believe. Yes, that's what God's plan is for our life. Maybe the things of this world have covered those things. Take a moment before you leave. As we worship, stay before the Lord. Come to the altar. Pray with us if you have the opportunity. And just allow God to take that overburden off, right? Let that faith rise up. Amen. So let's pray as we go. If you've raised your hand, please come forward. We'd like to pray with you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time we've had together. I thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for taking the time to invite us to your table, allowing us to sup with you, and allowing us to hear your word for our lives. We don't take it trivial, Father, but we take it serious. We thank you for your presence in our lives, Jesus. Thank you for those who have come to meet with you today. Now, Father, go with them. Bless your people. Be with them this week. Continue to show, Father God, your revealed word in their lives. Continue to speak, Holy Spirit, this word over their life this week. Let us not forget. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. Amen. Come forward if you would like to be prayed with.